Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. We have kind of an unusual day today. We don't usually do topical programs. We take anything. But today we're going to talk about something that is so serious. In fact, it's so hurtful to so many people that I've brought in the king and queen of hurt, Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams. Hi, guys.
Hey, it's good to be here with you today. I thought you were going to call us the king and queen of pot.
No. No, it just reminded me of that saying that I had at one time, we love hurting people.
No,
and,
yes.
And we don't love to hurt them. We love people that are hurting and we want to help them. But I got to tell you, oh, by the way, if you want to join us, if you're interested in this topic, whether you're a grandparent, brother, sister, father, mother, if you want to talk about a pot-smoking child, we've got a book for you, and it's called Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. If you're watching on Facebook, you can see it. Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. And this isn't just understanding and loving them. It's what do you do about it? And one of the most tragic things is to hear that there is a 15-year-old and a parent is wondering, what do I do about their smoking pot? So that they know they're smoking, they've known for a long time they're smoking, and they haven't done anything about it. And essentially in doing that, they've allowed the habit to become more entrenched in the person's life. But guys, pot today, and it sounds trite, but it's just so true. It's not the stuff of the 60s when people started smoking pot in great numbers. It's not like that anymore.
No, in fact, it was about 4% its potency in that time, in the 1960s. But now it's gone up about 16%. That's a lot. And there's a lot of other things that can get woven in to today's marijuana. There's synthetic marijuanas like spice that seems to be less harmful, but it's actually not. So it's just hard to know what your kid is actually getting when they get a hold of marijuana.
The genetic modifications are pretty remarkable, as you were mentioning. But not only that, is now you have the distillates, which are like the gummies and the vapes. They can get up to 90% THC.
Wow.
So when people say, oh, it's God's natural remedy, I'm like, what you're taking is not natural.
Yeah.
It is so chemically engineered for one purpose, intoxication.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Research shows that it isn't necessarily a gateway drug to other drugs, but it is a gateway to relief, to avoiding reality, to getting off into an escape. That's what it's a gateway to. Mm-hmm. And I would just say this, in every adolescent who's smoking pot, it's a symptom. It's a problem, but it's also a symptom. Mm-hmm. There's a problem here. And we've got to address the problem that's causing this symptom that is also a problem. So we're going to be doing that. If you want to join us, here's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, Steve Arterburn here. And the book is entitled, we'd love to give you a copy of it, gift of any amount, I'll send it to you, Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes pot. It's not just like drinking. It's not just like the 60s. It's a problem, and we can help you with it. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, the calls are coming in, and before I go to Diane here, let me just remind you that this weekend is every man's battle. And pot's bad, but I'll tell you what else is just destroying so many marriages, and that is lust and pornography and a thought life that's out of control. Mm. If you are struggling, it's not too late to sign up. You could get this thing taken care of. It's in Houston, and we're going to do it face-to-face. But think about this. You go from this shame, feeling like a bad little boy as a man, to you walk out of there, you feel like a man, and you feel like a man who has people to help. You feel connected, and the shame that you leave there is unbelievable just by having some other people that know what's going on, they've been there too, and they receive you in whatever you've been. There is no shame. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and join us this weekend in Houston. It is a life-changing event. But right now, let's go over here and talk to Diane. Diane is, she is calling us from Chesapeake, Virginia, and WPMH, I believe, is the radio station. Diane, how are you today? What's going on?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so glad I got on for this topic. How are you?
Well, good. How does this topic relate to you or somebody in your family?
Well, I live with my daughter. It's her house.
Okay.
She has an 18-year-old son and then two minor children. And the 18-year-old son, she has permitted to smoke marijuana in the house since he was about 15. Because
why?
She said she'd rather him do it under her own roof than be worried about him being somewhere, because he's going to be doing it anyway.
And okay, here's a question.
Where he was at least.
Quick question for you. Quick question.
Okay.
At 15, he's smoking pot. Did she ever talk to you or anybody about maybe him getting some counseling about this issue and why he wants to or needs to?
Well, my daughter is, I always call her the poster child for marijuana. She has nothing but positive things to say about marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
She smoked it herself, but she doesn't smoke it. But he smokes it like every day now. And mm-hmm. he smokes it in his bedroom and, you know, allowed to have other kids come in there and smoke it mm-hmm. in there too. I've always been against it, but it is her home.
Yes. And here's the other thing, is here she is, when he was 15, mm-hmm. it's illegal for a 15-year-old
exactly.
to consume this,
yep.
and she's allowing right. that. Well, what did you, right. How did you react to that? What were you talking to her about?
I tried to get her to see, I always believed that marijuana was a gateway drug to other mm-hmm. things, because they would get bored with it, or, you know, mm-hmm. same reason alcohol and other things may lead to other things. Also, that he was underage and it was illegal,
right.
and
right.
I really didn't want him doing anything illegal around me, or
right.
shouldn't be doing it around the other children.
Sure.
Because then you're going to be faced with these children and giving them the approval,
okay.
Because they're going to say, well, Big Brother did it.
So, what, Dan, what is the question for us then in just a horrible situation for a grandmother to be watching? What's the question?
Yes, it's really been terrible. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm glad that somebody told me I was probably going to get that book, and I think the book would be very helpful.
Yeah, we'll give it to
but
you.
But I've been trying for years. I've been lost at what to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I've called the police a time or two,
yeah.
and they, you know, dealt with it with a slap on the hand. But other than that,
okay.
I pray about it. You know, I take everything before the Lord. But
well, I want to start with Chris. I want to start with Chris and go to Sherry, and then I've got a couple of things for you about what to do when there's a grandchild, 18 years old, been smoking since 15, smoking in the house. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, you're right to be alarmed, Diane. I mean, you know, the first thing you can do is exactly what you're doing today, and that is get as educated as you possibly can. And so, obviously, we'll send you a copy of this book, as Steve has mentioned. But yes, also know that facts are probably not going to move the needle for your daughter that much,
exactly.
Unfortunately. I really wish it would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that is so difficult about these situations is that when we find a solution to our problems, and the solution to your daughter's problems, your grandson's problem, is to mask the problem, right?
Right.
And
right.
That's, mm-hmm. And so, but we get so attached to those masks, those comforts, those reliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this deeper attachment that happens, and that's what people oftentimes misunderstand about addiction. They think addiction is the way it simply affects a person, like their brain or how powerful the experience is. But to be honest, nicotine is not that much of a mood-altering or mind-altering device, but it is extremely powerful, and it's the most addictive substance we know on planet Earth. So
exactly.
When we say that, you know,
one of my major concerns was addiction. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you already have it. He's been using daily for 3 years. There's no doubt that there is a deep dependency on this.
Right.
But I do believe that you need to hold to your truth. Obviously, do it in love. But I think you need some boundaries around your exposure to this, because if you'll notice how much it is bothering you and upsetting you and kind of taking you out of your life and your, you know, let's say, taking you out of your game.
Right.
Well,
right.
All right. So you're saying set some boundaries, get educated as much as you can. The book will provide mm-hmm. that. Share your thoughts here.
Yeah. Would you feel comfortable just sharing her first name with me, us?
Jessica.
So this is what I want to say. I want to say, hey, Jessica, I'm so glad your mom called. And truly, I know, because you used marijuana when you were growing up, it kind of creates this false sense of safety, like everything is okay. But let me just say this, is it's a different day and it's a different time. I had a family come in because their child, who was a teen, ended up having something called marijuana-induced psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they thought that this child was actually schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came in, and I started doing a history and discovered that this child had been using marijuana daily. It began to change the brain because it shuts down certain parts of the brain. Mm-hmm. It's toxic to the temporal lobes. And so that child had to miss school. Actually, it freaked everyone out in the family, and it even really scared that child. But I'll tell you this, which was so interesting. As soon as we got the child off the marijuana, do you know what they did? They went online and began to, you know, study everything about marijuana that was good. Like how what I was intervening was wrong. But the truth of the matter is the family was scared enough straight that they were able to come around and support that child, and there was a change. I hate for that to happen, Jessica. I do. I don't want your son to end up falling behind in school, because it impacts your memory.
Dropped out.
Okay, well, there you go. That is a consequence.
Right.
And so, Jessica, darling, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. All right, so hearing that the child has dropped out of school now really feeds into my theory about your daughter and men.
Mm-hmm.
Where is her husband?
None. She doesn't have a husband right now.
So many times...
her father is incarcerated.
Okay. So many times when a woman doesn't have any man in her life, she essentially, this pretty bold statement here, entraps the male son, makes him dependent, is enmeshed with this child to where pretty much this one can't get away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I really believe that that's what began at age 15 when she started to let him smoke pot there. And now allowing him to live in the home, not going to school, no performance whatsoever. So typical. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming living there, there's no grandpa in the picture. Is that right?
Correct. No, grandpa's incarcerated.
Okay. So what I would suggest for you is to do the exact opposite of what maybe it feels good to do. I would take a two-prong approach. First, increase your connection with him. Try to become the grandparent that wants to have a place in his life. Show new interest in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might
end up doing that.
Well, you
end up going from the bull, you know, trying to, this is not going to happen, and
right.
blah, 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 and this is wrong for you, and turning it into, okay, let me have an interest more in him and be more involved with him. So, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Be gradual about it. And what we're talking
right.
about is something that I doubt he's had, and that is you might be the first redemptive relationship that he's ever had. Second thing is, surely there is an older man in a church around there somewhere that
right.
would be willing to come over and visit with you while he's there. And the
right.
hidden agenda is that this person's coming to visit with you, but mm-hmm. takes an interest in this 18-year-old and wants to come back and spend some time with that 18-year-old, and that might become the second redemptive relationship. A retired
right.
minister, a retired youth pastor, somebody, but
right.
but the mother is never going to bring other men that might help this kid around if she's doing what I think she's doing. And the fact that he's a dropout allowed to be at home makes me think this is a really sick agenda that she's not even aware of. But those two things,
right.
you're already on the track of trying to connect with him in a redemptive relationship. See if there's some way that you could bring a good man into his life that might be able to speak into his life. I also, we're going to send you the book. I think you're going to like it, and I think it will help you a great deal. And I'm very, very happy that you called, and very sad for that situation. Sherry, or...
Yeah, I was just going to... I was going to say, what's really heartbreaking to me, Steve, is, and you had mentioned it, Sherry, how much misinformation is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't forget that now pot is a multi-billion dollar business, okay? Like, we can't forget that right now. It is booming, you know, and there's lots of investors in it and big, big money. It's And so it has a driven agenda, and it's taking a playbook straight out of big tobacco, what they did 40 years ago. They're targeting younger people all the time, knowing that it has an addictive and intoxicating effect. And if you can hook them early and often by only promoting the benefits or potential benefits. And the other thing that when we get attached to something is we like to look at the exceptions, right? Well, so-and-so did just fine with pot, or so-and-so successful and they're smoking and no big deal. But we're not seeing the big, wide median, like the majority of people. So a boy who starts smoking pot at 15, knowing there's a lot of factors involved, but we know that weed affects motivational centers in the brain. So he loses motivation and drops out. Like, that's a serious consequence.
And you know, Steve, you were so intuitive to wonder about Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
And the placeholder that her dependent son holds for her heart.
Yeah.
And I have a friend named Dan who does exactly what you invited the grandmother, mm-hmm. Diane, to do. And Dan went into one home, a single-parent home, and changed a kid's life forever. Mm-hmm. Because he took him swimming and boogie boarding and to play basketball. He got the kid out. And
yeah.
I just loved your idea, Steve. I think it's creative because something's got to change in that home.
Yeah, and the players that are there doing what they're doing, that's not going to create change. But I was really glad that Diane had already started to try to move into this mm-hmm. having a place in his life versus rejecting him and the pot. It's very tricky. 1-800-229-3000 to join us. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. We've got some calls lined up for this special program on smoking pot. We'll do another program after this, and it'll be just like normal, talk about anything. So if you want to go ahead and get a head start on that, you can, 1-800-229-3000. Chris mentioned something, and I hear this all the time. You'll hear somebody that is an exception to the rule, and you want to base your life on the exception. One of the things I've heard often is that Steve Jobs, who was over and created the Apple computer, Steve Jobs smoked pot. Well, okay. So you create a new technology that the entire world uses and creates billions of dollars of revenue, and maybe you'll find a nice way to do that. What I'm saying is that does not apply to any of us. And who knows whether he was doing that for recreation or because he had cancer, and sometimes that is a way that people get through the chemo. So anyway, my point is, don't base your life on an exception. You need to look at the reality. And let's go to Felicia. She is, I believe she's, well, she's calling us all the way from Gaithersburg, Maryland, listening on WAVA. How you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Just a little backstory. My mom passed away this year. She was a pastor, and she was a great woman of God. And it really hit our family hard. And instead of one of my siblings turning to Christ as the answer, because that's where I turned.
Yeah.
Her and her husband turned to, well, they were always marijuana smokers, and they turned to it even more, where it's affecting my nephew now, who's 16 months old.
Mm.
And I know prayer works, but it's like, what can I say to them, or how can I get through to them? Because I feel as though I can't step into a husband and wife situation. I'm not either one of them, and that's a covenant between them and God. So I'm mm-hmm. definitely not going to step into that.
Yeah, but wait a second.
How do I reach them?
You can step into the life of one of them, like your sister, and because you care, and she's your. Yeah, I mean, it's just your place. You can do that. You can say, I so care about you. And something that I've seen since Mom died was this, man, this is kind of becoming more frequent. And the problem with us not going through the pain of loss and grieving is that that pain doesn't go away. It kind of multiplies and gets complicated and messes up a person's life. And maybe the invitation isn't stop using pot, but maybe the invitation is to your sister. We've got some work to do. We've done a lot of work together over the years. Let's go through this together, and let's fully go through this grieving process, letting Mom go, so that 10 years from now, we're not feeling this kind of pain and this kind of struggle. Sherry, your thoughts, and then you, Chris. What are you thinking?
Well, hey, Felicia, is it your brother or your sister-in-law?
It's my twin sister.
It's your twin. Oh, your twin. Your twin. So it's really, it's tight. It's hard. It's really close. I want to say something, and I only know this from my own story of stepping inside conversations with someone that I loved who was using. It's always scary. It's always scary. And I think that oftentimes what happens, Felicia, is we kind of create rules or stories in our own mind that it's not my place. It's their family. And yet it's your family. It's your little nephew. And I just want to like validate you and let mm-hmm. you know that it is like 1,000% common to feel fear as you're considering having a conversation and a loving conversation that's trying to impact and make a change.
I did that. And when they first moved up here to Montgomery County, I tried to be like, hey, come on, stop this. I'll help you get, because I'm a bus operator from Montgomery County.
Mm.
And I was like, hey, I'll help you get in.
Yeah.
You know, I'll help you get a job where you guys can do better. And it just wasn't accepted.
No, I get it. And this is the weird thing, is if it comes across like judgment, like I am trying to fix you, like something is wrong with you, they're not going to hear it. In fact, they're going to feel off put. Mm-hmm. But if it comes more in the spirit of, hey, you know what? I love you guys. And I am hurting over losing mom. And I'm hurting with you guys over the pain of just not having her around. But one thing that I've observed that's hurting my heart is I'm watching you guys change, and it's scaring me. I'm watching the changes in what makes sense, you know, kind of marijuana and numbing out because of all this. I have my own weird ways of numbing out. But I guess I'm scared and nervous that something's going to change between us. And I don't want to lose anybody else.
Mm. All right. We'll be right back for more New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We are talking about understanding and loving your child who smokes pot, even when your child is your twin sister at age 30 and struggling with a very, very difficult, painful loss of mom. Chris, what have you been thinking about here that might be helpful?
Well, my first thought is I wish we all had siblings like Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It's like, can you be my sister? Because your love and your concern and your honesty, they're real and they come through. And you have had what I call critical conversations with your sister. Sometimes in these situations, there's a couple things I want to mention. First, when we have critical conversations and we say some hard things, and maybe there's a defensive response or a non-response, we think it doesn't have an effect. But that's not always true, because that conversation sort of sticks in the brain. You know, like when people close to me tell me something that I need to hear that may be hard for me to hear, I may get defensive in the moment, but later I'm thinking, oh, crap. They said something that's real, you know? The other aspect of this is, and sometimes you got to go innocent as a dove, shrewd as a snake in these particular incidences. So for you, Felicia, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to your sister, and I want you to let her know that you're just feeling a lot since the passing of Mom, and that you would love to just spend time with her, to reminisce, to talk, to share in the grieving process. And in the midst of that grieving process, you know, talk about, even sometimes yourself, here's ways that I kind of want to get out of it, but I know that I need to go through it. You know, and so you're kind of inviting her into a shared experience that, hey, I want to escape all of these feelings that I'm having, but really it's important that I go through them, and I invite you to go through them with me. Sort of like, sister, I need your help. But part of needing your help is I need you to show up and be online.
Hmm.
And showing up and being online.
Well, that's the thing. She's completely shut us out, even my oldest sister. Hmm. Like, she's completely shut out everybody.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm going to send you this book. I hope that can be helpful. I would just, when somebody shuts you out, won't take a call, won't take an email or anything, that's when you go to the snail mail and you start dropping them some notes that are encouraging and hopefully continuing to let them know that you really do care. Now, before you reach a point where a person might say, I don't want to talk to you anymore, I think one of the most helpful things to tell somebody that's involved, like a sister, is I see that since Mom died, you're really struggling, and I see that you're using pot more and more. Well, I'm not going to abandon you. If that's what you're going to do, I'm in there with you. I'm not going to smoke it, but I want to still be part of your life. I want to go through this with you because I got to tell you, I haven't seen a lot of great results from people smoking more and more pot. So just know I love you, I care about you, and I'm not going to let a weed stand in between us. I'm going through this with you. And if you're ever, ever in need of something other than what you're doing, I'm going to be there for you. That can be an invitation for openness, and maybe at a real, real time of despair, they might turn to you for some help.
And Steve, if I could just mention, you know, there's this, when we're talking about deep family relationships and hard losses and hard relationships, we want to hold on to that which is good. We want to hold on to that which is hopeful. And I'm just reminded in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's not give in to despair here.
So yeah. Good. I mean, both of you just said it. You know, when somebody is isolating and we feel they don't want to be around us, it sends a message, and we kind of go, okay, well, then I don't need to be around you. But we need to do the opposite and not give up when somebody is sending us the wrong message. And, you know, marijuana can cause people to isolate. That's
absolutely
one of the symptoms, right?
All right. I'm glad that she called, and I'm sending her understanding and loving a child who smokes pot. Speaking of childs, Larry Sonnenberg has raised a few children in his day, and Larry's in the studio. What do you have for us today, Larry?
Steve, I heard you talking early in the program, Every Man's Battle this weekend in Houston, and there's still some room for some signups, so I want to both encourage that, and I want to encourage people who are contemplating, or maybe not, maybe this testimony and my appeal will get you to contemplate making a gift to New Life. I remind myself that the Apostle Paul says persevere, and perseverance leads to good things and character. And so I'm going to persevere and continue to do these testimonies. This is what Ron wrote. Wow, what a weekend. First, I wouldn't have been able to attend without a scholarship. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Before the workshop started, I was scared. Porn has been the crutch I used to fill the voids in my life. Well, sort of filled. My fear was that God wouldn't fill these voids. Every Man's Battle has helped me understand that God is not only able, but desires to fill these voids. As a convicted sex offender, I was fearful of not being accepted. I was wrong. My group leader and all the guys in my group just fully accepted me. No stones were cast. I'm convinced and equipped to start the healing process with my wife. I know it will be a process. Thanks for the reality check. I look forward to the future, to implementing my tools, to walking with others, and for seeing the return to my marriage. Thank you.
Well, I tell you, that's what it's all about right there. And that's why we started New Life in 1988, based on three words: truth, transformation, redemptive relationships called connection. That's a transformation story right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that our staff is such that a sex offender comes in, mm-hmm. and they welcome with open arms and say, "You're in the right spot, buddy. We're going to help you."
Yeah.
And you might not be a sex offender. You might just maybe cheating on your wife. You maybe been looking at porn. Whatever it is, these guys are going to accept you with open arms, no shame, and they're going to love you.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you've got a problem, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you have some support that you could offer, maybe somebody can come on a scholarship that wouldn't normally be coming, I'll send you a copy of this book. You can either get Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot, or you could get the last book that Dave Stoop ever wrote, Living Strong and Finishing Well, either one of those for a gift of any amount. Larry, anything else you want to add here before you go?
I just can't say thank you enough. People are supporting New Life Ministries, and we're always hopeful that we're reaching some new people, and that the new folks that have never given before would take that step and kind of join the giving family with New Life. So
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. We'll go back to the phones, 1-800-229-3000. We'll do another program after this, and you can join us no matter what it is that you want to talk about. And right now, let's talk with Mana from, I think, Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. How you doing there? How do you pronounce your name?
It's actually Maria from Boston.
Maria, okay. Well, it's good to talk to you, Maria. Yeah. How can we help? So, what's going on in your life?
Okay, so I'm a medical doctor, and the question is, I read about marijuana, and right now I have a lot of elderly patients, like we're talking about 70s, 80s, who are asking for prescription for marijuana because they think it's going to be safer than taking Tylenol or ibuprofen for their chronic, like minor arthritis pain. And the dispensaries or the marijuana providers are telling them that it's much safer, telling them there's no side effects. And I don't think that's the case. Especially, they're also encouraging them to take the edibles. So I think it's a problem, and I don't feel comfortable, and I wanted to get your opinion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really pity doctors because you're faced with all these new requests, whether it's some medication, oxytocin, you know, anything, the fentanyl, all the stuff that people start off believing isn't harmful and is. And you want to still care for them, but if you don't give them what they want, they're going to go somewhere else. And I would say this, you know, I couldn't imagine a physician saying to an alcoholic, here, drink this fifth of whiskey. Yeah, you'll feel better. And I really believe when you don't provide for them and you do force them to go somewhere else, I think you get them to think twice about it. But also, you're not enabling something. Their mind needs to be preserved and needs to function at maximum function at age 70 and beyond. And this does not help. Dr. Amon's been here before to talk to us about that. Okay, we'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. We are talking about pot-smoking kids. We've got a great book, Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. If you'd like a copy, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. Also, if you want to join us in our next hour, 1-800-229-3000. We'll just have a normal program. But in the meantime, Maria's on. She's a physician, really struggling because now older patients are saying, here, give it to me. Sherry, you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Maria, I love your heart. You know, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has done some research currently, and the number of people that are creating accidents from marijuana is up over alcohol. And it's sad to me that at some point we will be researching the elderly population who have dementia faster, or, you know, it's we will catch up, but marijuana actually impacts the temporal lobes, mm-hmm. which is where memory and moods are held, and it also impacts the prefrontal cortex, where it's our executive of our brain, our boss of our brain, mm-hmm. and as Steve mentioned, we only have so many brain reserves, and having worked with Dr. Amen, I've seen SPECT scans in his offices that look like moth-eaten, mounds of flesh, yeah. because of the, you know, impact of marijuana. But the behaviors are what we're going to start to see, and so I say move them in a different direction, girl, because it's not good for us. It takes away brain reserves, and mm-hmm. the dispensaries are stealing money, and marijuana steals our brain reserves.
Yeah. Well, and I think there is, like, what I want to say is, like, I'm not anti-THC or anti-pot, you know. It's not pure prohibition. Certainly there can be some benefits, but there's one thing I can definitively say about the cannabis industry. In its medical advancements, its research, by the way, is way behind, and it's been anything but careful. And so as we're introducing, this gets really geeky just for a second, because Maria, I think you'll understand this. They're isolating the delta distillates, the delta in the THC to make the distillates. That's where they get 90% THC. That's an intoxication beyond what we can possibly imagine. If Woodstock weed was riding a bicycle, the weed today in the distillates that is being put out there is F-15 fighters. It's not the same thing. And that's what I'm passionate about, is, like, yeah. we have the wrong information out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got the right information here, and understanding and loving your child who smokes pot. I'll send it to you. I am glad that you called. I think we've got time for Jason's phone call here. And so, Jason, welcome to New Life Live. How you doing?
I'm doing well today.
What's on your mind?
So, you know, I'm actually a pastor, but,
What church, Jason? What church are you a pastor of? I'm just curious.
I don't want to give that out.
Okay. Or what denomination? What is it? Can you tell us that?
Pentecostal.
Okay.
Kind of.
All right, kind of Pentecostal.
You know, very much a grace-centered ministry.
Awesome.
But
we don't have a lot of time. So I did want to get to your call, though. How could we help you today?
I can make this really fast. So, as a child, I went through a lot of trauma, and it just kind of persisted throughout my life. And then I went and joined the military, and I pretty well took a beating and developed serious PTSD and depression. And I have tried multiple, prescriptions and different things that the VA wanted to put me on, which everything made me feel like garbage.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so,
tell us what you want
us to deal with.
So I fought for years because people kept telling me, try marijuana. Well, I mm-hmm. fought it. I said, I really don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I tried it, and for a first time in most of my life, I actually was able to sleep, mm-hmm. not hear voices, mm-hmm. not feel terrible. I was able to eat again. So, I mean...
Yeah. Well, Jason...
I mean, that's kind of where I'm at.
I believe that God is for you. And one of the evidences of that is you've been through trauma, and you found something that lowers the symptoms of that. But I want Sherry to talk to you about something I could almost guarantee you haven't been through that could literally change your life, and you wouldn't be looking to reduce symptoms. They wouldn't be here. Sherry?
Hey, Jason, I want to say thank you for serving the body of Christ, and thank you for serving our country as well. And I want to let you know I understand very well the post-traumatic stress and what it does in the brain. And when Dr. Amen has been on the show, we've talked about something he finds in the brain specs, which is called a Diamond Plus. And that means when you're serving like you did, when you've grown up in homes that are bad things happen, it kindles our brain. It turns it up, and it starts working way too hard. One of the interventions that I use with folks just like you, Jason, is called EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing.
You know what? I have been put through that treatment.
Okay. Were you with somebody who was certified or a consultant level?
Absolutely. Trained?
Okay. And what happened when you were going through that?
I mean, it had zero positive effect.
Okay. Now, I have people reach out to me and call me, and when they tell me that, this is what I do. I say, I want you to come in, because I'll have my first session or two for free. If I cannot get it to grip the way that I've been trained, then I'm not going to charge you. But this is the difference, is there are some people that, it's like any other art, that learn a skill, and yet they haven't finished the training, or they haven't really used it a lot. And the reason I'm saying that, I might try somebody else if I were you, is there is a price tag that comes with marijuana for your brain. And let me tell you something about you. I love your mind. And I love the fact that you are a teacher. And over time, the marijuana is going to impact your memory. It's going to make your memory slower. It's going to cause you to not connect the dots like you have. And that's the most special part of you. And so I would think about trying it again with a different professional and not giving up, because I think there is help out there.
Yeah. You know, I said I could almost guarantee you he hasn't been through that, and that just shows you, once again, I'm wrong, because he has, and I just hope that he might try it again, because, you know, we sometimes get with the wrong person, wrong time. And something like getting trauma therapist from a specialist can really clear up a lot of things. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the next program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you, so please call us. That's what we're here for. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.